March 2nd, 2016 is the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show on a Wednesday at the Love Grotto here on the Pleasure Point. Wild Kingdom brother Matt.
Yeah.
We got some righteous weather. I think rain's coming this weekend, though.
Yeah, that's what they say, but they've been wrong a lot this year.
Yeah, they have been.
The old El Nino never showed up.
Right. Well, it is. I think it's stalled out in the Northwest because they're getting pounded with rain. Mm. Oregon, Washington, B.C. I started with the last blues, John Coltrane, then our guest, Brother Matt, by your suggest.
Yeah.
But I've always wanted to have him on, too, ever since I heard about him via the Hodge, stick man, the beat in his hand, my first opera. Also knows how to dance. People don't know that in Long Beach. Mm. I think LBCC, Community College, I think he did some instruct.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. Hodge and Tards, Branson.
What a scene that is.
Pirouette.
Oh, he's going to be hearing about that. This
Well, I only know because he told me. So he must have been totally shamed. I'll take you there. Staples Singers. Cover. Rick Holmstrom.
Rick Holmstrom, yeah. Right on. You know, speaking of Long Beach, that's how I originally got turned on to you was this thing here, a cool little sampler down at Fingerprints when it was down in Belmont Shores.
That's Second Street.
Yeah, a little free. They had a little freebie out there.
Downtown. Now,
yeah, it's a cool spot. It's basically.
But,
yeah, so a little
like
sampler. Yeah, a little EP deal, three song sampler. Yeah. So a little freebie turned me on. So yeah, I went and bought the full one, and yeah, been a favorite ever since.
Hydraulic Groove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hydraulic Groove. Yeah, you gave that to me.
Yeah, yeah, made a few discs for you.
Tune from that.
Cool.
Mr. Medeski.
Okay. Sure.
Towards the end, but let's start from the beginning. What's your earliest musical memory, Rick?
Whoa. Well, I was born in '65. My dad was a DJ when I was a kid. And so,
did you want to leave it at work so you never heard music?
No. Like
where were you?
The first movie
SoCal?
I went to as a kid and I slept through the whole thing, I guess, was a Beatles movie. So I would probably have to say it must have been the Beatles.
In what town were you?
Fairbanks, Alaska.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
A little northwest.
Yeah.
Little.
Northwest Bayou.
Yes, right.
Northwest and John Fogerty. Yeah. Okay. So you think it was sleeping through?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. I'm not sure which movie. What would have happened? Yeah, one of those.
Hard Day's Night.
Yeah, my mom and dad took me to that movie. And they were real young parents. They were 20 and 21.
Oh,
and I was the first kid, so my dad was crazy about, you know, all the Elvis and Little Richard and Buddy Holly, and then the Beatles came along and all that kind of stuff. So I heard all that.
Well, he's a DJ. Is that what he gets to play?
He gets to play some of that.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Because
there was a lot of control.
Yeah, I mean, even then he was playing the hits of the day. So, but he had his favorites at home.
Okay. That's great. So, but was he just a listener, player, or was he?
No, he didn't play at all.
He didn't make music.
He didn't make music.
He played them. He played the records.
Yeah.
He played the radio.
Yeah.
Okay, but still, that's incredible because you need. You're gonna have somebody make the sound. You gotta have somebody listen to it.
Yeah.
And also disseminate and share it. So people can hear and know, and turn people onto the culture of it. Did you get to hear the stories about, as you were coming up, about these records he was playing?
Yeah, I mean, I think my parents were just of that age where they grew up right during rock and roll.
Yeah.
And so then the Beatles hit, and they were still really young. They were just kids when they had us.
Right.
And so, music was a fun thing around the house. It wasn't anything like they were players and.
Probably didn't have any guest appearances much.
No, but when I was 12, my dad did take me to see Chuck Berry in Fairbanks.
Oh, cool!
My
so
first
Chuck
concert.
Came up.
Bitchin'.
But I mean, there was probably a lot of visits to the studio.
No.
On tour. In fact, I got to say, my only Alaskan gig is Ketchikan.
Oh yeah.
And I just flew in. Yeah, because to drive, I think it's like 3 days from Canada.
Oh yeah,
Canada.
It would be crazy.
So you got to make a tour like a whole week to get that one. Gig in, but
we're going up there in May with Mavis to Anchorage and Juneau.
Okay.
It'll be my first time going home to play with her.
Great. Yeah. So, I mean, you're in a music environment here and stuff. When did you get the idea about doing?
Yeah, I mean...
There's no instruments around the house, right?
Right, no instruments around the house until... I think my mom and dad tell me that I was a big fan of the Glen Campbell TV show as a little kid, and I used to dress up in some kind of Western outfit, had a little plastic guitar. So there was a toy, and then third grade I got a classical guitar, like a little Yamaha, tiny student guitars, and a teacher.
This is from the folks.
Yeah.
And they tell you, if we get this for you, you got to take lessons, you got to learn it.
I started taking lessons with my teacher after school, learned the cowboy chords and the first position and all that kind of stuff.
Sure, open stuff.
And then it just was another toy in the room. The baseball's over there, the football's there, yeah. The basketball's there. Didn't do anything with it until I was in college.
Wow. Yeah. So there's no high school or junior high garage bands?
No, not until college.
Cats at school play?
I would see people play, and that was during the time when guitar playing became really technical. And so I just got totally turned off by Eddie Van Halen and all the people that came. Not that he isn't great,
but
all the people that came after him, it just became like, I can't. Why would I want to pick up the guitar when that's going on?
Was there cats at school that had garage bands in Fairbanks?
Sure, yeah. They were Battle of the Bands.
Battle of the Bands, talent shows.
Good players. A drummer named Kevin Fitzgerald that lived.
Sure, there. I know him. He was Geraldine Fibbers with Basilich's band.
Kevin and I grew up together.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Kevin and I used to sit.
And me and Nels got to jam Stooges with him in something called The Real Oh My's.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, wow.
We used to sit in his room with the black lights and the Kiss posters and everything, and he could already jam out. He was already great.
So he had a drum set.
Yeah, and I would sit there and kind of try to figure out what
on
the
that
chord
thing that was in the corner.
Yeah,
no way. So he probably drowned your ass.
Oh, I was terrible.
Probably my minute. Okay, so college comes. You go to school up there?
No, I went to University of Redlands.
Come to California.
Yeah, and
I played there once. It's inland.
Yeah.
Redlands,
yeah,
like, of course.
Yeah, it's out by San Bernardino, Riverside.
California 60.
Yeah, and I was, I played basketball in high school, and I played in college, and I kind of sat the bench at University of Redlands. Played
four, rode the pine.
Rode the pine, Division III school, you know, had a ball, you know, worked construction in the summer in Alaska to be able to help pay for it, and took out huge student loans and all that. And then
what was your major?
Business, a minor in political science, had no clue what I was doing.
Sure,
I was just a kid going to college because that's what I thought you were supposed to do.
Right.
And there was a band at Redlands that some friends had that were also basketball players, and every once in a while I'd pick up a guitar and they'd go, "Dude, you can play. You should play with us." I'd go, nah.
And somebody else's guitar. It's not that one back home.
Somebody else's guitar, yeah. So finally, senior year, me and another guy named Tom Nevins and I basically joined this band together because they'd lost a couple guys to graduation.
Yeah.
And he was really into roots like Chuck Berry and Muddy Waters and Albert King and bands like the Tailgaters from Austin, Texas.
Minutemen got to play with him.
Did you?
Keith Ferguson, a bass, sure, badass bass.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember the guitar man's name, but
Don Leedy.
That's
right. Yeah, I'm a huge fan.
And then they had a dude who played keys on Metal Vest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a great
they
tour.
They were fucking smoking. You can believe that.
That's what we wanted to be.
The Continental Club.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I believe it.
And Keith played an old P bass upside down.
Mm-hmm.
He was bad. He's passed away. But
yeah, he was
great. And they were really kind to us. They had no attitude. Whoa. Wow. I kind of do little things like that, but I keep them going. That's what it is. Yeah, okay. So these cats you mentioned, here's not the flavor of the day. Here's some old.
Yeah, it's like a swamp pop.
Yeah.
You know, and a little bit of Texas blues type stuff. And that was the first band I was in was all into that.
So once
kind of
you
thing.
Had to buy an electric guitar, you had to buy an amp.
I had, I think, $150 to my name, and I bought $125 worth of guitar stuff just to be in that band. And my wife now was my girlfriend then, and her sister and all their friends just ridiculed me, laughed at me.
Yeah, that's a good form.
We're assholes. I remember the first gig we played was in a house, and it was so much fun. It gave me the same feeling that I would get when I was playing a basketball game in a full
gym. Oh, like a rush.
Yeah, that rush that you got all of a sudden. All these people are having fun. Look at all the fun we're making.
Yeah.
And we stayed up all night partying after that. It's just talking about how great it was.
And what were these cats called?
Oh, it was called CBC. It was a stupid name, but it was... It was the California Boys Choir.
Yeah.
Because...
Damn it, Brother Matt, I want
you. Because the dorm that most of them lived in was Cal Hall. And yeah. So they called themselves the Boys Choir.
Yeah.
And so the name stuck. And, you know, after we all graduated and got done with that, they all went on to do regular jobs and stuff.
Other jobs.
Yeah. Other jobs.
Don't demean your guitar.
That's right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry. And I just kept going to clubs.
Sure, kept on pushing.
Yeah.
I love it. We're going to play Whammo.
All right, cool.
This is a Rick Holmstrom.
Instrumental, yeah, off of a record.
Composition, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Because I want to get into your composer. I know you've done a lot of covers.
Well, I mean, it's inspired by people like Lonnie Mack and
Lonnie Mack.
Stuff like that. And you'll definitely...
Last, the week before, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Cat in Cincinnati, Dave Widow.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Small world. Yeah. Let's listen.
One, two, three, four. So that's the story of my life. And that's the difference between wrong and right. But Billy, he said, both those words are dead. And that's the story of my life. That's the story of my life. And that's the difference between wrong and right. But Billy Name, he said, both those words are dead. That's the story of my life. Oh, let's hear some of that good old whorehouse organ. That's the difference between wrong and right. But Billy, he said, and both those words are dead. That's the story of my life.
Come on, far. Like we're losing. We've been in the black. The tan and white building has been our complete back, a place to go and protected from the elements in life, encouraged to expand through the work order day. Your life is your job every day, and the Aura House has good ones to hold people up and join the daily workforce through its three departments. We are fed by cafe, look to membership and communications to lead our daily struggle, and biz tracks everything. We deserve a mansion for being human and trying, celebrating the mission of the house, Jahara House, pillar of humanity, worshiping the mind to do the right, to follow, and go to work.
Juan for Pedro Show. Start off with Rick Holmstrom doing Whammo. And then found out inspired by Lonnie Mack. Much respect. Then a brand new from R04. R&K featuring Annabelle, the Schnack remix. Then a brand new from Robert Pollard. I Could Illustrate. Story of My Life, not new, I think from 1975. Pete Lofner and Don Harvey on Pump Organ. Interesting man for the Cleveland scene, Peter Lofner. Old days. Barris Whitfield and the Savages, Angry Hand, his latest album. Big Crux Panchito, Northwest. Brand new from Familia Miranda, Memorias en las Manos, out of Barcelona, some Chile guys, and Very Be Careful, El Reveiruto. I'm going to get to play with them, I think sometime in April, and then finally, see Trigueros, Shetland Chords, and Jahara House, Joe Brewer. Back to story, Combs from here, he did his first gig, it was a success. He rolled the dice with 125 of his $150, and it came up sevens.
That's right.
So bitching. I love the snake eye. But if you got the snake eye, you get back up. But you didn't have to. You got some momentum that carried you. Those cats, they went on to do other work than music.
Mm-hmm.
You kept pushing with the music.
Right.
You probably moved a little from the inland towards the water.
That's right, I did. I
graduate or something, right?
Yeah, I moved out to L.A., and I just I started going to all these basically ghetto blues clubs because I was really getting into blues.
What year did you move to L.A.?
I graduated in 87, so 87, 88.
Okay, because that's why I was doing a blues show, I knew a lot of the blues.
Yeah.
Oh, Johnny Dyer was one of your buddies. Yeah, he was a good friend. But I split from L.A. in 87, and that's when I stopped doing it. So that's why I hadn't met you.
Okay,
that's timing right there.
Yeah.
They actually knew it was called the blues shift. For many years.
Yeah.
I mean, he went to Willie Dixon's pad and shit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, have people come up and play all the time. So.
Yeah, so you guys just missed from overlap.
I know,
that's crazy. Where'd he come from?
Yeah. You know, what,
from
the first band I saw when I drove into L.A. with a buddy of mine, I had a fake ID, went to the Lighthouse
in
Hermosa.
Hermosa Beach.
James Harmon.
Wow,
band,
yeah.
With Stephen Hodges on drums.
Yeah, a lot of stories about the tour bus that had many leaks of the diesel. Students would get gassed out every fucking ride.
Crazy.
Ditch that ride. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so I sat there in that
what
club.
What happened to that cat? I'm curious. What happened to that cat who was in the band that was interested? He just...
Oh,
as
Tom.
As far as it went, Tom.
Yeah, he moved up to the Bay Area where he was from, and he works a regular job now, a different job. In the computer and business world. But he still has a band on the side.
Great, because I was going to ask about
it. Yeah, and they're called the No Cover Band. and they play bars around the Bay Area, and Tom can sing his ass off. He's just a really great singer, and so I'm happy that he still does that. He's got kids and the whole deal, you know.
And you got your fire lit, so you're going to the well, mm-hmm. the primary source. See these cats play,
yeah.
And you're taking it in. Now, how's this match with the guitar lessons? Isn't that a trip? Now you got the practical. Now you're learning what guys are doing, and you get to see it. And they might be small clubs, but that's even better. You can get up close.
Well,
just think if it was arena rock me. And there's Mark Bolan 5,000 miles away. What the fuck's he doing?
No, you know what I would do is I would bring a guitar in the trunk.
Yeah,
and I'd watch the first set,
and
I'd slip out to the car and grab my guitar and go in. And
try to burn brand in the mountain.
You know, spend 10-15 minutes doing that, then I'd run back in there and soak up more.
Yeah.
Stay up all night trying to learn it. You know, just it was nuts. The thing that I was lucky for was that I was about 23, 24, and I got with this guy named William Clark, who was a blues harmonica player right before he signed with Alligator Records. And he was going through band members. He was tough on people. And I was young and hungry. And so I went on the road with him for about 3 years in vans that were breaking down all over the place and toured like crazy with it.
Butter and juice.
Everybody else was way better than me. I don't even know how I got the gig, but he thought he could see that I was hungry and that I played good rhythm guitar, so that's kind of why I was hired. Was
so Steve Samuels playing too?
No, I came in right after Samuels.
I got some good video of him playing on the show, Bill Clark.
I saw Samuels play a lot of times.
Yeah, he was amazing.
His sound.
He was one arm guitar player.
Yeah.
He played like this, left-handed, and he had been one of those... what do you call it?
The
babies that lose part
thalidomide.
Of their
life. They say there was a drug.
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry, ladies, you won't have labor pains. Yeah. And then the babies won't have arms and legs.
Yeah, he had like a little 1-inch nub, and he flicked perfect.
Part of that is, my cool Korean friend Tone, born with no lips, part of it was the same kind of
thing. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Played like this. And
so he's playing with the pick in his elbow.
It was like a callous nub.
Just the elbow.
Actually, the nub.
Yeah.
And it was like perfect. He was made to play.
What a sound. He got the most amazing guitar sound. So that was a big influence. And then through that, I learned about this guy named Junior Watson, who played with Rod Piazza back then, and then Canned Heat. And it just kind of led on, started going to these ghetto clubs and seeing people like Smokey Wilson and Johnny Dyer and Finest Hasby and just all these guys who had moved from Mississippi or Texas or Chicago to L.A. because of jobs in the 50s, and then they stayed. And so there's a blues scene that was happening back in the 80s and part of the 90s that was before all of the, Stevie Vaughan and all that stuff happened.
You go to Tina Mayfield's place and Maddie, Big Mama Thornton, Maddie Thornton's sister, they had a club down there for a while. Has had dinner with Albert King at their place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was down the South Central Blues Unlimited or Simple. I forget the name of the place.
Yeah. But, there was the Pure Pleasure Lounge. There was the Pioneer Club. That was Smokey Wilson's place. Of course, there's Babes and Ricks. That was a little bit later. But there's, I was just the kid coming in with the guitar. You know, I'd buy like a $3 entrance fee that got you fried chicken and maybe a beer.
Yeah.
I'd sit there and listen the whole night, and then they'd see that I had a guitar, and at the end of the night they might say, "Kid, you want to come and play?" And I'd play a little.
You're the gentleman.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Yeah. But it was, I was just really just trying to soak it all up.
But that was cool that they were open and.
Yeah.
I heard stories about Robert Johnson turning around so you couldn't see his hand. Right? You ain't going to learn this. Or steal this.
No, it was all cool.
Wow, okay.
Really.
So you did some touring and stuff. Can you remember the first recording?
The first recording was with William Clark and Johnny Dyer at Pacifica Studios in L.A. I know the engineer. I've done a lot of work at this studio since, and he always tells me, "I couldn't hear you. you, I kept turning your amp up, turning you up,
because
I was so scared. I was playing quieter. I was barely playing.
That was your Marcel Marceau. You didn't know that that's what you brought. That was the game you brought. No. But it was scary, right? They call it red light fever. I get it.
Yeah.
Like if you're just warm up, no problem. I was like, bling, the red light. Clam, clam.
You want me to play with all these guys? What the fuck? But,
but don't you think maybe that's the way to fucking do it? Instead of finding a bunch of lay dudes.
Oh, man.
Find dudes that are better.
Oh,
Did somebody give advice on that, Brother Matt, one show? Find dudes that are better than you to play with. Not dudes lamer just so you look good. You won't learn as much.
Yeah, that's got to be it. I mean, I was always the worst player. It took years before I could finally hang with some of these guys.
But some dudes on purpose. They find lamer dudes.
Oh, no, I couldn't do that.
So you can stand
I'm
tall.
Still playing with better players than me.
But somebody gave me advice. I can't remember. He said that, I like that idea. Play with better dudes. Yeah. You got different.
William Clark this year?
Let's see. Well, it was called L.A. Blues Anthology. It was for a European label, and basically William Clark was throwing the light on a bunch of
LA, a sampler.
Yeah, a bunch of L.A. unknown artists, mostly from the inner city.
For European people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because a lot of that stuff, because years went by.
Yeah.
People don't know. Who's the big guy? He's now living in Amsterdam. He was living in New Orleans, but his house burned. John Sinclair.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
The White Panthers and all that MC5. He was way into blues, too.
Yeah.
The guy, by the way?
Yeah, yeah.
Incredible collection. And what he lost in that fire.
Boom.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
John Lennon wrote a song about he got thrown in jail for Mota.
Yeah, all kinds of guys, just like a total raconteur. Got stories up the yin yang.
Oh, I know, dude, I've been with him.
Is a DJ in New Orleans?
Now he lives in Amsterdam. The pad burned down. So that's where he lives now. But Europeans have always had a deep interest in our blues scene. So that's cool. Yeah. And you got to be along with that. And at the same time, it was like life, learning process.
Oh, yeah.
Bet you. Okay, so you're sidemanning it. When did you decide, I want to do my own thing?
Oh, that took years. I mean, I played with Bill and then Johnny Dyer, then Rod Piazza for 7 years.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until 2002 when I put out that record, Hydraulic Groove, that I finally said, all right, I'm going to get out and do this. And I toured for about 2 years on that.
Was a trio?
Yeah. Sometimes a four-piece, but most of the time a trio. And then
who'd you pick? Who's the other two guys you picked?
Oh, well, the guys that are with...
Give them some credit.
Yeah, yeah. Jeff Termas and Stephen Hodges.
That's right. And they're still with them.
Yeah, that's right.
I just want to say that because you were saying that other cat was having trouble holding on to dudes. There's situations where there ain't trouble holding on to dudes.
Right.
And that's fucking righteous thing I know from having trios. You know, when you find cats that can be with you, it's bitching.
Oh, yeah. And a trio, I mean, that's, you know, that's there's a special thing that happens with that.
There's more room in the boat, dude.
Yeah, exactly. But you add a fourth or fifth piece, and somehow it starts to wobble a little differently.
You can also have, like, what's it called, deadlock?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2-2.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Can't have no deadlock. Someone's got to give. Someone's got to give.
There's this...
Okay, and you just called it the Rick Holstrom Trio, and you just started out, well, you wrote up some stuff, did some covers, and just took it up to the road.
Yeah, we were on the road, and...
2 years.
2 years, and then Bottom kind of fell out of the blues scene in a way.
Yeah.
And
I remember that, the Long Beach...
Yeah, it goes through cycles all the time.
Had the scene there, and just... Because the organ man and second man was in that Burton Jones band.
Yeah.
You saw the whole thing...
Yeah, just...
Cycles.
All throughout the whole country, it was... All of a sudden, you used to be able to go out with a new band and get to go through a town three times, maybe build a following. Sure. You know, if you didn't hit it the first time, it's like, I don't know if we can have you back. So exactly. So then my wife and I started to have kids, and it was okay. I'm gonna stay home and watch the kid while my wife is working her job, and I just sort of like did European tours. Here and there until the Mavis thing hit.
Right. Yeah. At the end of the first hour.
Cool.
March 2, 2016. Just watched the show with Matt, I guess. Colmstrom. Hold tight for hour 2.
March 2nd, 2016, second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you. yellow-haired mother did not come home. Rain cloud above the well, do you hover? My quiet mother weeps for everyone. Brown star, you wind the golden roof. My mother's heart was ripped by lead. Thank you.
family of five brothers and one sister. His brother Mario lettered in football at USC in the years 1952 to 54. In 1944, Aldo Ray entered the Navy, where he served as a frogman and saw action in Okinawa with UDT-17. Upon leaving the Navy, Ray entered the University of California, Berkeley, but his studies there were brief. He settled in Crockett with his first wife, Shirley Green. They had one child, Claire DeRay, and he was elected the 12th Township Constable of Crockett, just north of San Francisco.
Gone for a while, my dear. My power moves the great space coaster, maneuver the ship and the rocket booster. As it gets close to the edge of the future, to walk on planet red. My power moves the great space coaster, maneuver the ship and the rocket booster. As you get close to the edge of the future, to walk on planet red. I had a sky view of the masses who elected to take that role. They descended down from mountains and towns, a sight to behold. And someone shouted, the rocketeer, but need not fear, I'm a rocketeer. Drop that ball in the glass so clear, I might be gone for a while, my dear. But we can take the next flight out, we can have this one night out. Turn the world inside out. We live our lives good and inside out. The platform becomes the runway as we all strut on board. In the orderly fashion, crying and laughing, and then they close the doors. My power moves the great space coaster, maneuver the ship and the rocket booster. As you get close to the edge of the future, to walk on planet red.
My Apollo moves the great space coaster, maneuver the ship in a rocket booster. As we get close to the edge of the future, I might be gone for a while.
She said, I want to explore the universe, her exact words to me. More than just a star, I want to be part of this odyssey. Need not pack your possessions, you could just come as is. Cause everything as it appears to be as we glide out the hemisphere. Stratosphere is the end is near. That depends on the engineer. As I boldly approach the control, I just wanna get us the hell out of here. Clear. Stargaze, stare into abyss. Some days you never know the gist. Part ways, there gotta be more than this.
My Apollo moves the great space coaster, maneuver the ship and the rocket boosters. And as you get close to the edge of the future, you walk on planet red. My Apollo moves the great space coaster, maneuver the ship and the rocket boosters. And as you get close to the edge of the future, you walk on planet red. Someone shouted the rocket's gone, but need not fear, I'll be rocking on. New space and time from a world gone wrong, I might be gone for a while, loved one. Someone shouted the rocket's gone, but need not fear, I'll be rocking on. New space and time from a world gone wrong, I might be gone for a while, loved ones.
I got some friends. I've got some friends. I've got some friends. They're small, round, some have little spots, some do not. I got some friends. I've got some friends.
Watch for Pedro show. Start a second hour off with Turn Your Damper Down. Rick Holmes, why don't you tell us about that tune?
Well, that was on a record that I did with Juke Logan and Stephen Hodges playing drums. We just had this idea to just do guitar, drums, and vocals and harmonica.
And bass neglected again.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry. Going to dance.
Well, you know what happened? There's a story to it, though. So we're playing this club up. I'm playing this trio gig at the Redwood Bar in L.A. And the bass
downtown
player,
Redwood Bar and Grill, Second Street.
The bass player couldn't show up. He had something come up at the last minute.
He let you down.
So we are playing as a duo, and there's Juke Logan out. Hey, man, did you bring any whistles with you? Yeah, come on up here. And somebody recorded it, and I was listening to it a couple weeks later, and I called Juke and said, man, you got to make your next Juke Logan record like that. It was the coolest shit, because I could just change at a moment's notice wherever I wanted to go.
Yeah,
and I didn't have, it didn't have to be arranged at all. It was just beat and guitar. And after a while, Juke finally acquiesced and decided, maybe we should try that. And he turned it into a group name, and that's Juke singing on that song.
Great. Then Dan Kaufman, Ask the Tree, Tiny Box, Rats in the Lou, Osmond, World Forgotten Sons, Aldo Ray, John Truby, Red Plant Slippers, and Asalone. It's a collaboration. Earthwind Ensemble, Ladybug, and finally Solvents with Teenage Zoo. When did you bring the trio in to record? Was it the Hydraulic?
Well, I had made some records before that.
No, but I'm wondering about
Hodges and Jeff was on Hydraulic Groove. Hodges played percussion on it.
Okay. Seed pods. I remember him bringing seed pods.
Or like a anvil, you know.
Or marbles on the calfskin kick drum head. He's really inventive cat.
I had also played a long time with this drummer named Steve McGallion, and so Steve was playing the kit on most of that record, and Hodges was doing percussion. Okay. But,
I think Hodges did percussion for some fucking, who's that clown in Chicago? I shouldn't have said that. Okay, no more. You did another percussion.
Who's that clown in Chicago?
Whoever did it, I'm the clown. Green hair and red nose, not John Wayne Gacy. That was Pogo, right? Anyway, okay, so Hydraulic Groove didn't have Hodge on the trap. He's on the next guy?
Yeah. That one's called Late in the Night.
Yeah, Late in the Night.
And that came out right at the same time that we started with Mavis. And you were asking earlier.
That's going to come. We're going to play Mavis. Right now, I think what we want to do is engage the spin cycle and hear you work your guitar to Brother Matt's.
I better tune this thing up a little bit.
We'll tune it up.
Okay. I was born in the country. I was raised in town. I can natural bone shake it from my hips on down. Thank you.
I don't.
There you have it.
Very much, Brother Matt.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Cool.
Rick Holtz from
being
in the hot seat and delivering.
Delivering.
It was wild. I've never done anything like that on radio before.
He's feeling bad about stepping on people's thing. Gracious.
Yeah, he stepped on it nicely, though.
Yeah, gracious. This is a show.
You know, you play in a trio. You know, you're not used to that much racket.
Ball guard. Yeah. You don't want everybody on one side of the pedal just yanking it. Getting like olive. I was right. What was your motivation, Prime? Impetus to do what you just did to us, Brother Matt.
I just wanted to try to get something laid down that Rick could go off on. The Celtic guys, they don't know how that got in there, but you did well. That's the river dance part of the show.
The river dance. Okay, we're at the end of the second hour. Walk Pedro Show, March 2, 2016. Hold tight, hour 3.
Yeah.
So March 2nd, 2016, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Pedro Show. Start off the third hour with Oh Yeah Everything. Rick Holmstrom, Mavis Staples. Now, tell us about you connecting with Mavis Staples.
Yeah, I mean, I'll try to keep it. There's a few side stories in it, but one of the big things was she had us open for her on the Santa Monica Pier, one of those Thursday night shows in the summer. You know, thousands of people out there. You were there.
Yeah.
Brother Matt was there.
Matt was there.
Duke Logan was there. I mean, a lot of my friends were there. And it was Jeff Termas, Stephen Hodges, myself, and also Mike Tempo from the Bone Daddies.
Right.
Was playing percussion with us at the time. And we got done with our about 45...
Bone Daddies was one of them Fez bands.
Yeah.
I remember.
We got done playing about 45 minutes or something like that. And I look over and the promoter's telling me to keep going. And there's this dude standing off to the... You know how they have those steps that go down
sure.
from the stage? With these big yellow glasses with one eye kind of looking off a little off to the side and dressed pretty wild. And he keeps looking up at me going, yeah, man, I don't know who this guy is. So I keep playing. Play me three more songs. Look down at the promoter. He's keep going. At this point, I've been playing over an hour, about an hour. And these people want to see Mavis. They want to take you there. They want to respect yourself. You know, they want all that. Finally, play a couple more songs. Look at him. He's okay, come on down. And it turned out that her band was flying in from Chicago the day of the show, which was stupid. And they were stuck on the tarmac at LAX. And could we back her up for a while until they got there? So we go back to this tent with Mavis, and I say, do you play any blues? No, I don't sing the blues. I'm like, oh shit. Oh yeah, you do, but you don't consider it blues. And so finally we come up with a couple of songs, and we played maybe three, four songs, something like that. And her guys finally showed up, and we literally handed them cables and sticks, and they just started playing it, finish off the show. As I'm walking down the steps, this guy taps me on the shoulder with the big yellow glasses, and it turned out to be Ry Cooter.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't realize it at the time. And he, man, you guys sound great. I said, oh, man, it's so cool to meet you. We don't know her songs. Oh, I couldn't tell. But the way you sound with her, you know, so apparently the reason Mavis was in town was because Ry was producing a record on her at the time. The band wasn't on the record. And he kept talking about us in the studio the next week. But that's the band. And her manager already kind of wanted that to happen, this guy Dave Bartlett. Because that band that she had at the time, they were real good musicians, but they had been with her for a long time. And they came during the Prince era. They were formed to back up the records that she made with Prince.
Right.
So we got the gig, and our first gig was supposed to be in a small club in Hermosa Beach, but Mavis got sick while we were rehearsing, so our first gig was the Tonight Show.
Oh man. Wow,
yeah. That's a pants shooter,
yeah. Man.
Well, that's a great story.
Yeah,
and you're still backing her up.
Yeah, 9 years later, we're still
doing. Oh, awesome.
Evolutionary Squalor, Part 1 of 5 from Liquor Ball. That was 2008 recording, Brother Steve. I did the Steve Stock gig.
Right, yeah.
Pacifica. First time I ever played Pacifica. It's like, I don't know, 12 miles from the city, but it could be another.
Whole
other
place, huh?
Place.
Where is it?
It's west. It's called Pacifica. I guess it used to be 6 or 7 villages that turned into a town. But if you're on the, you know, like PCH.
Yeah.
Coming out of the avenues on the west side of the city. Mm-hmm. You start going south. Pacifica is the first big town. There's a lot of fog, huge ass beach. Mm. In fact, a sneaker wave drowned an old dude walking in to see it.
Wow.
Yeah, keep your eye on the water.
Is it by Playa del Rey and all that?
No, this is the city, San Francisco.
Oh, San Francisco. I thought you were talking about. Okay, I got you.
Playa is a little more. I think James Worthy lives there.
Oh, yeah.
It's by South of Marina del Rey.
Yeah. Well, you're
it's like, and it's trippy, you know, because anything east of the city or south, man, it's all part of this strip mall track home. Yeah. And this isn't like that. It's and you're right there.
Wow.
It's like another world. Yeah, I didn't realize. Usually very foggy. Anyway, it was emotional gigs.
Yeah, I bet.
Steve's wife, Patty. I'm glad it was there. Jello went and sang side two of Funhouse with us. 1970, did the first verse good, but got on the other side of the... You know when they're on the other side, you just can't get them back over. It's like in school with the row, row, row your boat, and they just can't hang on. You know, you're the other... Okay. Anyway, that's Marlon he was the bass on that, and he helped put together the event, too. A backpack and bankroll for a Norman Wehrhahn from the Scheisse Squad 2 out of Hamburg. I think they're Auslanders. Cosmodrome Gravity Song. Finally, Dr. Amazon. Ooh-ah, out of Portland. He's one of the Smegma cats. L.A. Music Free Society. Very interesting. 9 years, a chance of meeting like that.
Yeah.
But obviously she digs your playing.
Yeah, I guess so. It's been pretty, pretty cool.
You started off as Sideman, which is kind of fucking collaborate. Obviously, you pick you up as a side one. But now that you're band dude, you're collaborating with me. What, we're going to play something here by, Mr. Medeski, John Medeski. Oh. What can you tell us about that?
That was one of those record company things, honestly.
So it was put together for you?
Yeah, I mean, I'd seen that band, Medeski, Martin, and Wood, and they're great musicians. I thought they were pretty cool. But I think at that time I was making Hydraulic Groove, and some of the people at the record label thought maybe it would fall into this jam band world that I didn't really know anything.
That's why he was playing the violin and the flute shit.
But I mean, I was coming out of
you wanted you to jump on that.
I was coming out of the blues
world, I understand.
You know, and but John was cool. You know, I picked him up at some hotel in Hollywood and brought him to the studio, and we cut a couple songs, and it was.
And it's called Let's to Tape Roll, so it wasn't a lot of prep, right?
No, in fact, what was going on was I was in the restroom, and I came out in the rhythm section. Yes, I was feeling rested. And
you're wrestling.
And I heard this jam going on, and I just said, roll tape. You know, I told the engineer, just roll it. And I walked out there and grabbed my guitar. And we cut a couple of things so that it was a song. But
Miles did that.
It was a...
But I heard On the Corner, and he's done like that and shit.
Yeah, it's like a 10-minute jam that we probably turned down to 5 minutes or something.
I've been part of things like that. I don't think it's dishonest.
No, because the reason why I don't think it is dishonest is that you're hearing a moment.
Yeah.
It's way more honest than everything that's all put together, bits and pieces and overdubs. To me, every moment that you're hearing is real. It's just that you might have chopped out 2 minutes of
realness.
Not so great.
Realness.
Yeah.
Because that's real, too. Good luck. Okay, let's listen to it.
All right. Thank you.
Watt for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Rick Holmstrom, John Medeski doing Roll Tape. And you heard How It Got Done. They just rolled the tape. In fact, you're last on board. You started
right.
That.
That's right, they did.
How long are you going to stay in the head there? Okay. Then we heard Vreta Hammer with Ursus. That's Bear. Borrow Torlov by Sarke. And Sickness. El Caco, finally, Total Eclipse. Nothing New Under the Sun. That's got Seb from the Erotics on bass. Plans?
Busy summer touring with Mavis. That's all. We got a new record and this documentary
is
out.
So, like in festivals or clubs?
Yeah, we're playing Coachella with her.
That's big. Wow.
Yeah.
The biggest.
I mean, my daughter.
Talk about this documentary.
Oh, it's on HBO. It's called Mavis, and it's about her whole
sure,
span
sure.
of her life, her whole career. The Staple Singers all the way up
you get
to
in
now.
There.
We're in
up
there.
Up to the Santa Monica Pier Band.
Yeah, right. So it's a really exciting time. I mean, she's 76.
Yeah, right, right.
And she's got two new knees. She's touring more than ever. And we've got...
So you're putting off all your music to support her on this.
Yeah.
No problem.
I mean, I've got two kids, and a wife and kids, and... I tour quite a bit with her, and then when I'm home, I'm a dad.
Sure.
You know, and so I've got a few things going here, trio gigs that we do every once in a while, but it's not my first priority right now.
Right now, it's for Mavis, raise the fam.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. You know, how we ask cats on the show if somebody wanted to get in this racket shit and wanted that, somebody who's been around, ask for advice, what would you tell?
That's a good one. I tell you, I got a way of answering this.
I mean, there's no wrong answer. That's just an opinion.
Yeah. Well, a friend of mine, this guy, Donnie Grindler, used to be, played drums with me for a little while back, a few years ago. And then he got into, when we toured on Hydraulic Groove, he went on the road with me for a while doing loops live on the gig. You know, he figured this whole thing out about how to trigger loops, and we were playing with him, and he had... earplug in his ear and that whole deal, and it was new and all that, and he wrote a book about it, and now he's the president of Musicians Institute, which I know, you know, I totally came up playing, just watching people play, listening to records. I've learned a few, you know, I can do the numbers system. I know what I need to know to get by on the gig, but I don't know how to read music. I'm not proud of that, but and he asked me recently, like, would you come and speak at MI? And I said, well, only if the title of the talk was how to do everything wrong and still work out okay as a musician. Because these people that are there at MI,
sure,
their path is completely different than mine, it's looking to be anyway. I guess the thing I would say is...
Yeah, the advice part.
Is,
this is a setup, right?
Yeah, the setup is...
Setup is like, you from the woods and these dudes from the institute, and now you meet each other.
You better just love the music so much that you can't think of doing anything else. In fact, you might even have options of doing something else. Like, I'm one of the rare musicians who went to college and got a degree and probably came out thinking that I was going to do something completely different. And... I ended up doing this, and it's only because I just couldn't stop thinking about it. And I mean, against everybody's advice. I
not mine.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't know you yet. But if you'd known me
here.
Then...
I
you got to love it. You got to really, really love it.
And I like that.
And if you do, then if you follow it, follow your heart, you're probably going to be okay. If you're bullshitting... If you're trying to get in a band to get popular or to get signed or anything like that, it's probably not going to work out.
Jive. Thanks so much for being on the show, Ray.
Yeah, great to have
great
you down.
Honor for me and Brother Matt.
Thank you.
Very
thank
cool.
You for, you're always essential.
Certainly.
Agent.
Honor for me.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Yeah. And jamming your...
God, I hope you guys edit that a little bit. There's some
so good luck with the tour. Help me stay.
Yeah, say hi to Mavis.
Please. Right on. It's been March 2, 2016 edition of Wap Pedro Show. Everybody, keep... Powder dry.
Yeah.